This morning we continue our study on the Ten Commandments for the 21st century. And we've gotten to our third commandment of the ten. The title of the message this morning is, Watch Your Mouth. Have you ever stopped to consider how much truth there is in the songs that we teach our children? It is reported that once Karl Barth, considered one of the foremost theological minds of the 20th century, was asked, what is the most profound thought you've ever come across in all your years of studying? And he thought for just a moment and said, it would have to be this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Simple enough for children to learn and sing, and yet very profound. There's another one that I can remember from my childhood. It's almost insulting in its simplicity, but its magnitude is very powerful. It goes like this, Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And I can remember learning that song, and you'd work your way through the senses. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. But the one that speaks directly to our message this morning, in the third commandment, is be careful, little mouth, what you say. And I will admit, as a child, my mouth got me into more trouble than anything else. I wasn't a fighter. I wasn't a particularly bad child as far as being really disobedient, but it was always my mouth that usually got me in trouble. And I've learned that as I've matured, that hasn't changed a whole lot. God cares about the way we talk. And in the third commandment, we read, You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, you might be more familiar with the King James version of this commandment, Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. What does it mean to take God's name in vain? Well, vain means empty, idle, insincere, phony, frivolous, lacking in reality, in truth. So to take God's name in vain, to misuse his name, would be to treat God lightly, irreverently, or insincerely. We tend to think of bad speech as profanity, usually consisting of four-letter words that are socially unacceptable. But that word profanity actually goes much wider than just that. We are going to talk about that this morning, but that's not all that it is. We're going to see that to profane the name of the Lord is a biblical concept. And it doesn't just mean those words, what George Carlin used to say, the seven words you can't use on television. I think that's now down to about two. And it probably won't be long till they'll be allowed also. You see, God's concern goes far beyond swearing or cussing, for which sometimes children get in trouble. It goes to everything about our speech. One resource on the Ten Commandments that I have lists 12 different ways the third commandment can be broken. I don't have a 12-point outline this morning. We won't go into all of those. But I find three broad categories that I think we need to consider in applying this commandment to our own lives in the 21st century. We're going to see that Solomon was right in Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. I wish I had memorized that verse when I was young. Might have kept me out of a lot of trouble. Now, the first area we want to consider this morning is false speech. You know, we often think of sinful speech as profanity, and it is. But the way that that word was used initially was not foul language. It was actually misusing God's name. Leviticus 19:12 says, "Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of the Lord of your God. I am the Lord." Profaning the name of the Lord in this case deals with swearing falsely, either by lying or by using God's name to back up a promise we fail to keep. Jeremiah 7, verses 9 through 11, God is speaking to his people here. He says, "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'We're safe'? Safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord." There's where that little kid's song comes back into play. The Father up above is looking down in love. Yeah, God watches and he listens. And you'll notice he mentions perjury here. You know what perjury is? Lying under oath. Usually in a court of law. We swear on the Bible, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth." But if we don't, we're guilty of perjury. And while that is a criminal offense that can put you in jail, it puts you in a whole lot more trouble with God because you have sworn by his name to tell the truth and then you don't. Now, this doesn't only happen in court. How many times is somebody telling a story? And you can tell by the faces of the people listening, as, "Oh, here we go again, you know. Yeah, I don't know if I can believe this one." He says, "Honest to God, I'm telling you the truth." That's the same thing. If they're not telling the truth, they are profaning the name of the Lord through false speech. You say, "Well, I don't say things like that." But if you bear the name of Christ, if you're known as a Christian, and you have a propensity to not tell the truth, or maybe stretch the truth. I know some fishermen out there that are a little uncomfortable about now. You heard about the one-armed fisherman, right? Caught a fish this long. Never mind. We've got to be careful that when we are speaking, we're speaking the truth. Paul says in Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. That should be our measurement, our standard. That's the way we ought to act. Now, I mentioned perjury and giving false testimony under oath. That's not the only issue. And it doesn't mean that all oath-taking is wrong. There are some passages in the Bible which tell us that, you know, there are times you're compelled to take an oath, maybe when you are in court. Doesn't mean that the practice is wrong. But we've got to be careful that, especially in our everyday language, we are not using God's name to verify things that aren't right. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 33 and 37, "You've heard that it was said to people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." This is long before hair dye, by the way. "Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." So what kind of misuse of God's name is Jesus talking about here? I mean, certainly the commandment forbids false swearing, taking an oath and breaking it. Jesus is saying, don't even back up what you're saying by having to say honest to God or I swear to God or whatever. Your speech should be so trustworthy that they can take you at your word without having to back it up with these other statements. If someone says, "So help me God, this is true," it's unnecessary. We don't need that. And in fact, usually when somebody says that, we tend to disbelieve, don't we? If they got to add that to it, it makes us suspicious. Now, we shouldn't ever lie. I mean, false speech of all kind is wrong, whether we use God's name in it or not. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:25, "Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body." Even if the name of God doesn't pass through our lips, we bear the name of Christ in our lives. So we should be known for our truthfulness. False speech is a violation of the third commandment. A second way this commandment's violated is what I'm calling flippant speech. This is talk that is frivolous, superficial, even glib. Now, it's not wrong in and of itself. There's a place for humor. There's a place for lightheartedness, for fun. I'm the last person on earth that thinks Christians ought to be drab and dull. That's not what we're talking about here. But we need to draw the line when it comes to using God's name this way. Literally taking God's name in vain means to misuse it or to use it for no real purpose. And this would include any use of the involvement of God's name that is empty, that is frivolous, or that is insincere. It's kind of the very opposite of what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." You want to honor God's name. You don't want to just kind of drag it through the mud of frivolous talk. Michael Horton writes, "With much of our popular preaching and evangelism conforming to the mentality of the bumper sticker that says, 'God is my co-pilot,' there ought to be a little wonder why God's name is not hallowed in our society, because it's not hallowed in our churches." We need to be careful of how we use God's name. There's an old saying that says familiarity breeds contempt. And I think it is possible to be too familiar with God. Not trying to step on any toes here, but just personally with me. When I hear God referred to as the man upstairs, I don't like that. It's just me, it's an opinion. I just think that's being a little too familiar with God. Using such phrases as, "Oh my God," or as we text anymore, "OMG," means the same thing. "Good Lord," or "Jesus Christ." You've heard about the little boy that really thought his name was Jesus Christ because that's how his dad started every sentence. "Jesus Christ, what have you done now?" That's using God's name in vain. That's using it flippantly. That's using it empty. There's no real meaning or purpose to it. The Bible takes names very, very seriously. It involves who they are. It's their character. If the Lord's name stands for who he is, and when we just throw it out there flippantly, we're insulting him. We're not taking him seriously. And there's even a more serious misuse of God's name. Since a name stands for the person's character, we misuse God's name when we align ourselves as a child of God and then act in a way unbecoming of being his child. To call God Father and mistrust him. To call Jesus Lord and not obey him. That is using his name in a flippant manner. Lip service. This is saying something and not really meaning it. Glib promises that we have no intention of keeping. Merely going through the motions. These are all condemned here. I mean, we may sing the songs and recite the Lord's Prayer in our services, but if there's no meaning behind it, if there's no sincerity to it, I believe it's a violation of the third commandment. A.W. Tozer used to say, Christians don't tell lies, they just sing them on Sunday morning. We need to be careful of what comes through our mouths and that we back up our words. The vain or empty purposes to which God's name may be used include filling in the gaps of our speeches and prayers. To use his name when there's no real purpose to it. God's name should never be filler in our vocabulary. If we take God's name lightly, what are we going to have when we really need him? Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Let's not overuse the name of the Lord so that when we really need it, it doesn't mean anything to us. And then finally, the third application of this commandment is filthy speech. Proverbs 10, verse 32, speaks to the area of obscenity. Solomon writes, "The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse." Paul has strong instruction to Christians of such speech in Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." He goes beyond obscenity. He talks about foolish talk. In the Greek, this is a combination of two words, and it comes out as morologia. Moro is the word from which we get moron. Logos is a word for word or speech. Moronic speech is literally what the Greek says here. And you can see how this can apply, where he talks about coarse joking, some of the off-color comments or even suggestive things. These are things we should not be dealing with as Christians. And it is amazing to hear some Christians talk. The language that comes out of their mouth. It's not fitting. It certainly is destructive to our testimony. I mean, if people we're trying to bring to Christ hear us speak in this way, what are we telling them? What kind of a testimony do we have? And of course, we get into the area of cursing or cussing, you know, the words which are so prevalent in our society and yet can be so damaging. You ever think about two of what are now considered the lighter words that are used? Damn is a form of damnation. And occasionally you'll hear somebody say, God damn something or so and so. When we do that, we're taking the place of God. Only God has the power to judge. And if we're telling God to use his power to damn somebody, we're telling God what to do. That's improper. When we tell somebody, go to hell, that's something God can do. We have no right to tell somebody that. We must be very, very careful. James writes in James 3:9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. He's absolutely right. It should not be. Let God be God. He'll take care of those things. We don't need to tell him what he needs to judge or take that upon ourselves. And I think if you consider how the word hell is used otherwise, that fits into foolish talk. You ever heard somebody say it's cold as hell outside? Isn't that about the stupidest thing you can say? What do we know about hell? It's a lake of fire, right? Cold as hell? Really? I mean, it's just empty. It's foolish. It's dumb. So much of filthy speech is just without thought. Makes absolutely no sense. And that's really what profanity comes in here. The way that word came about is kind of interesting. There's an old word that has to do with church, and it's the word fane, F-A-N-E. And putting the Latin pro means in front of. Profanity literally means in front of the church. What does that have to do with bad language? But here's how it came about. Language was called out in front of the church speech, meaning in the church you use God's name one way, but then when you get out in front of the church you use it a whole different way. We sing the praises of God in church, but then we step outside and we're asking him to call down judgment, or we use his name flippantly. That's really what profanity is all about. My dad was a truck driver most of his life. No offense to any truck drivers here, but that's generally not an occupation known for its flowery language, if you get my drift. He used to carry a card in his wallet, and it says, profanity is the attempt of the feeble mind to express itself forcibly. Think about that. Profanity is the attempt of the feeble mind to express itself forcibly. We are betraying our very ignorance when we use profanity. It's attributed to Abraham Lincoln. I've heard it a number of times. Better to be thought a fool and kept silent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's what you do when you engage in this kind of talk. You prove to the world that you're not that smart. What we say says a lot about who we are. Such language has been described as very often the sin of thoughtlessness. And that's true, isn't it? We're not really thinking, we just react, we just say something. And oftentimes, it dishonors God. In our day, people abuse the sacred name of God and of Jesus Christ almost everywhere. People swear at home, they swear at work, they swear in school, they swear on the plane, they swear in the armed services. You know, man misses his plane, he calls God to damn everybody. Man swears at his enemies in anger, swears at his friends in good humor. Men and women swear when they're mad, when they're glad, when they're sad. A man swears at his wife, at the children, at the weather, at the dog, at the policeman, at the traffic, pretty much everything in general. And it used to be that only the lower forms of society were known to swear, but now everybody swears. Presidents, governors, judges, it doesn't matter. All walks of life, we tend to take God's name very lightly. And the third commandment says he will not hold guiltless those who misuse his name. We need to take him seriously. See, when we use God's name in vain, we are showing utter contempt for God. D.L. Moody writes, when he was in the army, he heard men cussing and swearing, and some woman would walk by and they would stop. These hardened soldiers would not swear in front of a woman. And he concluded, they would not swear before their mothers, their wives, or their sisters. They had more respect for them than they did God. On occasion, somebody will, you know, they find out I'm a minister, or they suddenly remember I'm a minister, and they've been using filthy language, and they'll say, I'm sorry. Say, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm not the one you've offended. And the truth is, whether there's a preacher or your mother or whoever around, God is, and he is listening. Remember that. Even when nobody else is around, God is. I know some people think, well, it's okay if I say those things under my breath, you know, or when no one's around, long as nobody else hears. No, God hears. God knows. We need to get our mouth under control and our language under control. Now, this third commandment, as many of the commandments are, stated negatively. Do not misuse God's name. But as I mentioned earlier, Jesus gave this command positively. In the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. So I don't even know what that means. I say it every week, but what's it mean? Honor God's name. Honor God's name specifically here by what we say. There are a couple of short little prayers that are found in the book of Psalms. I'd like to end with them. I think it'd be very good for us to pray these little prayers every day. Psalm 141, verse 3. Says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Can you just picture that in your mind? A little armed guard standing duty at your mouth, not letting anything come out that is not honoring to God. And then Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If we could keep those thoughts in our mind, maybe it would change what comes out of our mouths. I encourage each of us to pray this every day. It heightens our awareness of what we say. It points to the power of the Holy Spirit to control the tongue. James writes in his letter that the tongue is more destructive than any known force in nature. But the Spirit of God can get control of that tongue if we let him. We can use our mouths to build one another up, to show lost ones the Savior, to praise our Father in heaven. When our mouths are full of God's love and God's praise, it's surprising how the wrong kinds of talk has no room. Let us honor God's name in everything we say. Let's not take his name in vain. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, your word and your spirit have done their convicting work. There's probably not a soul in the sound of my voice that cannot see areas of our lives which needs this instruction today. I pray that from this point forward, we would be known for our gracious speech, for our good speech, for our godly speech, not that which is false or frivolous or filthy. Guide our words. May they glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.